I was sort of afraid to stop, I think. I don't remember, to tell you the truth. I know I didn't stop until I was way up in the 60s, past the zoo and all. Then I sat down on this bench. I could hardly get my breath, and I was still sweating like a bastard. I sat there, I guess, for about an hour. Finally, what I decided I'd do, I decided I'd go away. I decided I'd never go home again, and I'd never go away to another school again. I decided I'd just see old Phoebe and sort of say goodbye to her and all, and give her back her Christmas dough, and then I'd start hitchhiking my way out west. What I'd do, I figured I'd go down to the Holland Tunnel and bum a ride, and then I'd bum another one, and another one, and another one, and in a few days I'd be somewhere out west where it was very pretty and sunny and where nobody'd know me, and I'd get a job. I figured I could get a job at a filling station somewhere, putting gas and oil in people's cars. I didn't care what kind of a job it was, though, just so people didn't know me and I didn't know anybody. I thought what I'd do was, I'd pretend I was one of those deaf mutes. That way I wouldn't have to have any goddamn stupid useless conversations with anybody. If anybody wanted to tell me something, they'd have to write it on a piece of paper and shove it over to me. They'd get bored as hell doing that after a while, and then I'd be through with having conversations for the rest of my life. Everybody'd think I was just a poor deaf mute bastard, and they'd leave me alone. They'd let me put gas and oil in their stupid cars, and they'd pay me a salary and all for it, and I'd build me a little cabin somewhere with the dough I made, and live there for the rest of my life. I'd build it right near the woods, but not right in them, because I'd want it to be sunny as hell all the time. I'd cook all my own food, and later on, if I wanted to get married or something, I'd meet this beautiful girl that was also a deaf mute, and we'd get married. She'd come and live in my cabin with me. And if she wanted to say anything to me, she'd have to write it on a goddamn piece of paper like everybody else. If we had any children, we'd hide them somewhere. We could buy them a lot of books and teach them how to read and write by ourselves. I got excited as hell thinking about it. I really did. I knew the part about pretending I was a deaf mute was crazy, but I liked thinking about it anyway. But I really decided to go out west and all. All I wanted to do first was say goodbye to old Phoebe. So all of a sudden, I ran like a madman across the street. I damn near got killed doing it, if you want to know the truth, and went in the stationery store and bought a pad and pencil. I figured I'd write her a note telling her where to meet me so I could say goodbye to her and give her back her Christmas dough, and then I'd take the note up to her school and get somebody in the principal's office to give it to her. But I just put the pad and pencil in my pocket and started walking fast as hell up to her school. I was too excited to write the note right in the stationery store. I walked fast because I wanted her to get the note before she went home for lunch, and I didn't have any too much time. I knew where her school was, naturally, because I went there myself when I was a kid. When I got there, it felt funny. I wasn't sure I'd remember what it was like inside, but I did. It was exactly the same as it was when I went there. They had that same big yard inside that was always sort of dark, with those cages around the light bulbs so they wouldn't break if they got hit with a ball. They had those same white circles painted all over the floor for games and stuff, and those same old basketball rings without any nets, just the backboards and the rings. Nobody was around at all, probably because it wasn't recess period, and it wasn't lunchtime yet. All I saw was one little kid, a colored kid, on his way to the bathroom. He had one of those wooden passes sticking out of his hip pocket, the same way we used to have, to show he had permission and all to go to the bathroom. I was still sweating, but not so bad anymore. I went over to the stairs and sat down on the first step and took out the pad and pencil I'd bought. The stairs had the same smell they used to have when I went there, like somebody just taken a leak on them. School stairs always smell like that. Anyway, I sat there and wrote this note. Dear Phoebe, I can't wait around till Wednesday anymore, so I will probably hitchhike out west this afternoon. Meet me at the Museum of Art near the door at 12:15 if you can, and I will give you your Christmas dough back. I didn't spend much. Love, Holden. Her school was practically right near the museum, and she had to pass it on her way home for lunch anyway, so I knew she could meet me all right. Then I started walking up the stairs to the principal's office, so I could give the note to somebody that would bring it to her in her classroom. I folded it about 10 times so nobody'd open it. You can't trust anybody in a goddamn school. But I knew they'd give it to her if I was her brother-in-law. While I was walking up the stairs, though, all of a sudden, I thought I was going to puke again. Only I didn't. I sat down for a second, and then I felt better. But while I was sitting down, I saw something that drove me crazy. Somebody'd written, "Fuck you," on the wall. It drove me damn near crazy. I thought how Phoebe and all the other little kids would see it, and how they'd wonder what the hell it meant, and then finally some dirty kid would tell them, all cockeyed naturally, what it meant, and how they'd all think about it, and maybe even worry about it for a couple of days. I kept wanting to kill whoever had written it. I figured it was some perverty bum that had sneaked in the school late at night to take a leak or something and then wrote it on the wall. I kept picturing myself catching him at it, and how I'd smash his head on the stone steps till he was good and goddamn dead and bloody. But I knew, too, I wouldn't have the guts to do it. I knew that. That made me even more depressed. I hardly even had the guts to rub it off the wall with my hand, if you want to know the truth. I was afraid some teacher would catch me rubbing it off and would think I'd written it. But I rubbed it out anyway, finally. Then I went on up to the principal's office. The principal didn't seem to be around, but some old lady around 100 years old was sitting at a typewriter. I told her I was Phoebe Caulfield's brother in 4B1, and I asked her to please give Phoebe the note. I said it was very important because my mother was sick and wouldn't have lunch ready for Phoebe, and that she'd have to meet me and have lunch in a drugstore. She was very nice about it, the old lady. She took the note off me and called some other lady from the next office, and the other lady went to give it to Phoebe. Then the old lady that was around 100 years old and I shot the breeze for a while. She was pretty nice, and I told her how I'd gone there to school, too, and my brothers. She asked me where I went to school now, and I told her Pensy, and she said Pensy was a very good school. Even if I'd wanted to, I wouldn't have had the strength to straighten her out. Besides, if she thought Pensy was a very good school, let her think it. You hate to tell new stuff to somebody around 100 years old. They don't like to hear it. Then, after a while, I left. It was funny. She yelled good luck at me, the same way old Spencer did when I left Pensy.